Chicago. And so, Pam, would you come up, please, and introduce everyone and get us going here? Come on up, guys. Got seven of you. Are all seven here today? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. There they are. All right. Are we doing it from tallest to shortest or youngest to oldest? How are we doing this? Okay, all right.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to just thank the Lord for this, for you guys, for supporting our kids and being able to, every time they come, go away, they come back ready to evangelize and to do the works of the Lord here. We've seen it with Bethel. We've seen it with YWAM. And so I just want to thank you, God, for you guys for investing in each one of our young people. So let's just thank them. And so I'm going to start with Noelle. And Abby has a little bit of a difference because she did not go to Chicago, but she'll get to share that with you. So here's Noelle.
Hello. Good morning. So a little bit about our trip. Well, my personal testimony from it was, honestly, I can't say that we did a lot. There was a lot of, it was more in our group, that we had a lot of breakthrough. Like, we would be going out to really bless the city or do whatever we were going to do. And we ended up having so much breakthrough in our own group. We would just like pray and worship together. And for me, I've experienced that, but to have that like fully for 2 weeks, going for God just like changed my life, because I've never just been engulfed in that for 2 weeks. It's been, you know, we got to go. And so this like, and me brought so much patience. So this trip was amazing. And we did do stuff like clean up the city and pray for people. We did do that. But I just felt like, yeah.
I want to know, we had a prayer meeting this week, and the Lord really came on it with the spirit of unity and vulnerability. But one thing, share about how it's changed your life right now in your personal walk.
Okay. So, I mean, last time I went, I was like, yeah, I love Jesus. And I was, you know, having quiet times, and they kind of just, like, stopped after, like, a month probably. And when I went back this year, I've just noticed that, like, I just feel like on fire. Like, I just, every day I wake up, I'm like, I want to spend time with Jesus. Like, that's, you know, the initial, like, every time I wake up, I'm like, wow, like, that's what I want to do. So, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I kind of had the same thing as Noelle. Like, last year, it was a lot different than this trip. This trip was really focused on our group ministering to each other and just being ministered to. We did a lot of ministry, but it was a really great time to just be with God and just hear from Him. And one of the really cool things that He was talking to me about while I was there was we did a lot of intercession, and I really loved doing that. And one of the days we were praying, and I saw this image, and it was these two stone tablets. Just, it reminded me of the Ten Commandments, but instead of, you know, the writing of the Ten Commandments, it was just this, like, weird, strange writing. It looked, you know, a different language. And I was really confused by it. I didn't know what it meant. So later in my quiet times, I was asking God about it. I was like, what does this mean? Like, why can't I read it? And so one of the things He was telling me was that in today's age, people are trying to rewrite the laws and the truths that we have. And as believers, we can't let, like, society and just people rewrite the truth that God has given us, because it's our responsibility to, like, keep that truth and just, like, share it with the world. So.
Well, when we went to Chicago, they were really talking about this one verse, Matthew 28:19, and it says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." Can you hold that? And I just thought it was really cool because when we went to Chicago, all of the nations were just there. And so we could, like, talk to so many different people about our religion and learn about their religion. And it was just really cool talking to so many different people. And, like, they both said, we didn't, like, we got to do evangelism, but it was also focused on, like, our group and breakthrough and different things. And one thing that I really learned was that God doesn't have to, like, use us in, like, a huge way. Like, he could use little things, and it could still make a huge impact in, like, someone else's life. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, during our SST phase 2 trip, we learned so many different things. But one of the things that I really learned a lot was learning to trust in the Lord and not doubt him as much as the lady was talking about earlier. Because when we're going out to, you know, one of the things I struggled doing was evangelism, because it was a terrifying thing for me to do. But one of the things that God told me, I think I have the verse on my phone. It was, give me 1 second. Hold on, just 1 second. Okay. So as we're going out to, like, we went to, my group went to Walmart to go evangelize to the different people there, and I was just like, not, I was like, I would go up to someone and then I'd like stop and walk away because I was too afraid. I was like, all right, God, what am I supposed to do? And so I looked on my Bible app, and it was Joshua 1:9, and it says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And so that just gave me, like, the courage, and, like, the next guy, so I just, like, ran up to him and was like, can I pray for you? And it was great, so, yeah.
No, that's not a good idea. All right, I had a good time at Phase 2, and one of the good things that happened at Phase 2 was, oh my God, all right, so for ministry, we went to Lowe's, and before that, during our intercession with our group we were with, we got, four of us got cowboy boots, and they were red cowboy boots. And then when we were at the Lowe's, we found a guy wearing red cowboy boots. So we chased him down and followed him for like 4 minutes, wondering whether we should talk to him. And finally we did. And then it was really cool because he was like really cool. Yeah.
That was in Chicago, by the way, not Texas.
Yeah. Definitely.
So this year I staffed an SST, and I didn't go on the same one that they did. I did a phase one with 48 students that had never been there. They were all very awkward at first. It was kind of uncomfortable. But this year for me was like a huge challenge, actually. It was a really intense SST, and because I've been, this was like my fifth year, and so you'd think it'd be like, oh, no problem. But it was like really hard to like go and not know anyone and like see all my friends like at lunch and dinner because I wasn't on it with them, and all the people I knew were like having fun, and I was like trying to meet 48 people and like be the youngest staff, and it was crazy. But one of the things God was like dealing with in me was just like this, well, first of all, I like idolized my relationships. And I wanted to do whatever my friends were doing and be with them instead of being where God wanted me to be. So at first I was like not having like the greatest attitude about where I was, because I wanted to be on the phase two and go to Chicago. I had to go to Houston. It was really hot. But God, like, brought that up, and I, like, didn't want to deal with it, but I ended up, like, dealing with that during, like, the first week. And he also brought up that I was, like, scared of, like, missing out on, like, something that I thought was going to be fun, and I wasn't trusting him that he was going to do whatever, like, he wanted to do, and it was going to be really great. And, like, wherever he called me was going to be, like, the best thing for me. And I ended up having an amazing trip, and it was, like, one of my favorites by the end. I ended up loving all of the 48 students. It was so fun getting to know them and, like, talking to them. And, like, it's always interesting, like, trying to staff as, like, someone who's, like, not much older than them. But it was cool because I got to, like, share my experience and testimonies from, like, the SST trip and with them. And it was just so amazing. There was, like I said, it was really intense. We had healings in our SST. People's legs got healed. It was just insane. There was so much breakthrough with all of, like, the students who were there, and, like, people were crying, like, every day. It was it was really crazy. And yeah.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Danielle.
So to be honest with you guys, the first 3 days, I was like, God, why am I here? Yeah. I was like, this is not for me. I'm not supposed to be here. I don't feel welcomed. And what God was doing in my heart in the first couple of days while I was there was poking at the spirit of rejection that I had felt for so long growing up, just in my family and then just friends, and the rejection that I gave myself, you know, like that I directed towards myself. And he was just, you know, probing at that. And he's like, hey, you need to let this go. It's okay to feel. It's okay to allow it's okay to have emotions. And so he was really getting me with that. And then also he was touching on not limiting my potential, because nobody has really ever limited me in my life except for me. And I feel like the Lord's really calling me to be a leader. And I'm like, God, I can't be a leader. I don't want to see the people that are following me make choices that hurt my heart. And I don't want to be a mess up as a leader, you know. And he's basically like, get over yourself. Get over yourself and stop being afraid, because I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of one of power. Exactly what she said. So just most of my life I walked in fear, and God was touching on rejection, fear, and just really being afraid to walk in everything that he's called me to be. And also just one quick thing is there was a student on phase one from Korea, and I got to just kind of like talk to him and pray for him, and I'd ask him about, you know, what he's been dealing with, and it's been like unforgiveness towards his family and his brother. And I've been watching Pam and how she like walks people through, you know, letting people go and forgiving them. And so I was able to just sit with him and say, you know, repeat after me, you know, Jesus, I forgive this person. And at the end of the trip, he said that those encounters with me were one of the best things that he experienced during SST. You know, and if I had left on day two like I wanted to, just to run, you know, from what God was calling me to do, his life would never have been touched in that way. So I'm really thankful for the opportunity that God gave me. And I also just want to really honor this entire team, like seriously, especially Abby, because she, if it weren't for Abby and her desire to start going to SSTs, none of us would be or have gone to an SST. And I'm just so proud, like literally, of every single one of you guys, because I've seen a major breakthrough and a major change, and I'm very excited to see how God's going to use you guys to bring what Pam's always saying, the new wineskins of vulnerability and unity and transparency and forgiveness and love. And I think each of you guys are amazing, and God's given you everything you need in order to succeed in life. Really proud of you guys.
So I just want to thank you guys again, and I just want one more quick from SST. There was a kid who was, I'd heard this from Jake, who was struggling with their sexual identity, transgender. And after 1 week, the person was still confused. And this guy, Wes, who's going to come here and do some training with our youth, who has got such a gifting of fatherhood and teaching. But he said, no, I'm not going to send this person out. We're going to put them in another week of training and love. And by the end of that 2 weeks, that kid was delivered of sexual confusion. And what we're crying out for this day is that people who are struggling do not feel rejected from the church, but through the love and the truth, mercy and truth, they kiss. That's what we're going to see. We're going to see Jesus came from the Father full of grace and truth. And what God is doing is he's pouring that out. And I'm just thankful for the courage for these young people at their age. And we're going to continue to do that. I was talking to David and my kids about continuing evangelism and intercession and then bringing it out. So we are going to continue. So please pray for us as we try to bring back what God's done. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Wow, thank you all. It's good. Amen. Amen. Wow. Well, normally at this time we receive an offering and Dave Fritz does the offering and announcements. Dave had to leave. I want us to take a minute to pray. His daughter, Grace, was taken to urgent care. She's having some breathing issues this morning. They think it might be asthma, but he had to leave to join Allison and Grace. So you've got the B team this morning for the announcements. But let's pray for Dave first and Grace. Father, we just ask you right now in Jesus' name to touch Grace. Lord, I'm not sure which urgent care they're at, but you know all about her. You know everything that's going on inside of her. And Father, we ask, we agree together. We touch the prayer of agreement, Father, as your believers, as your body, as your people, brothers and sisters in Christ, we touch that prayer of agreement that, Lord Jesus, you'd release your healing grace into her body right now. Just breathe that she'd breathe. Just breathe it in. Yes, Lord, that her lungs would be clear and she'd be able to breathe normally. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that by your stripes we've been healed. Thank you that by your death and resurrection we have victory over sin, over sickness, and even over death itself. So just release that now, we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as we prepare to receive our offering this morning, our scripture is from Hebrews 13:16. Do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Now, just a word before we receive the offering. We're going to receive an offering for our brother Rich, who will be sharing with us this morning. If you'd like to contribute now to that, you may do so. Just write on your check, special offering. Don't put Rich Brink on there. Just put special offering. There's also a basket in the back of the room. You can put it in the basket on your way out today. Also, for any of you who were not here last Sunday when we received an offering for our sister Lynn Meckley, who's now back in Indonesia. I've heard from Lynn. She's back there safely. If you wanted to contribute this morning, again, put special offering, but put /LM. Don't put her name, but put /LM, her initials, Lynn Meckley. And we can add that to the offering. As I shared in an email, we've received close to $2,000 for her, which is awesome. I know. We're such a generous church. You guys are so wonderful. It's amazing. So, yeah. Okay. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of just returning to you a portion of that with which you have so richly blessed us. And God, we believe that as we receive our offering, that it's an act of worship. And we pray that as incense before your throne, that you'd be glorified and honored by the offering we receive today. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as our ushers are doing that, just a few quick announcements. Next Sunday is our, we'll be sharing in the Lord's Supper as we do on a monthly basis. So that'll be August 28th. Next one, please. The following Saturday is our outreach, our monthly outreach to Lexington Market. We meet here at 10 o'clock or meet at Lexington Market at 11 o'clock. And we offer free bagels, free water, and free prayer. And for those of you visiting with us, we pray for anywhere from 75 to 100 people every time we're down there. So if you haven't been, we'd love to have you join us. It's a great time. All right. Is that it? Women's breakfast. We don't have one for the women's breakfast. I got that in my notes. Okay, the following Sunday, or Saturday, excuse me, September 10th is our monthly women's breakfast, September 10th. That's here at 9 o'clock, right? 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. Okay? Good. Now we'll bless. By the way, Rich and team, our young people are going to need to go out. They do. With you being here, we were hoping they could stand, but they've got a, it's a very important Sunday because it's the last Sunday Miriam will be able to share with them. Miriam, where is Miriam? Just to congratulate Miriam, she's been accepted for the third year at Bethel. She'll be, they'll be leaving for Bethel, and so they're going to be sharing together.
I had a quick vision of for the young people.
Oh, please. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, as you guys were sharing about your trip, I had a vision. I've never had this happen before like this, but as I saw you standing up here, your body's changed, your face changed, and I saw you totally grown up. Adult men and women, confident, secure leaders in the move of God. And I saw that. So that's who you are. And you're going to look back at this trip as a major landmark in that progression. So I just declare that you are leaders, you're strong, you are courageous, and you are going to be awesome in the kingdom of God.
Thanks, Rich. Well, if we could ask our young people to stand, please, and we'd like to pray for you. Joshua, thank you for the painting, too. Do you want to share anything about that before we dismiss? Joshua, he's a little shy. He might not. Okay, he's fine. Okay, he's going to finish it next week. Okay, that's good. We're good. We're good. We don't want to embarrass him. Yeah, let's just pray for our young people. Just reach out your hand. Father, we thank you for each of these lives, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, for each and every one. And God, as they go to their respective classrooms, we just pray that you'd go before them and prepare the way. May your presence be with them. May your anointing be upon them. Father, just immerse them in you, we pray. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, guys. Yes. Announcement. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right, thank you, Jenny. Whoa. All right, as we're transitioning here, I just got a late-breaking announcement. Many of you know that the Russells are part of our church. For those of you that are visiting, there's a family named the Russell family. Marion Russell is our office manager, and Stu and Marion have 5 sons. Their second oldest, Aaron, is on the U.S. men's volleyball team, and they just won the bronze medal. I don't know how things were after the last game that they lost to Italy, but going into that game, he was had the second most points of any of the volleyball players in the tournament. Isn't that amazing? And and they beat the Russians. Something about that just feels good. I don't know. I'm sorry, but I probably need prayer and deliverance. But there's just something about that. Just, you know, it's more satisfying than beating Italy or Brazil. You know, it's just something about beating the Russians. I don't know. Guess that dates me. Anyway, all right. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Well, we're delighted that Rich Brink could be with us today. And he's been a friend of ours for a number of years. Actually, I was introduced to his wife before him via the telephone, and that she and I had many conversations arranging meetings and things. And I was immediately impressed with her organizational skills. Subsequently, I learned that it's even more impressive than I thought. She's a phenomenal organizer and administrator. So then a few years ago, I finally was able to meet Rich when Georgian was in the area. Wasn't with us yet, but he was at another church, and they had a lunch thing, and I met got to meet my dear brother Rich, and we immediately formed a friendship, and that's continued through these years. And he is the pastor for their school up at Global Celebration. He was a pastor up in Maine for many years, up in the North Woods, part of the, yeah, literally. And Georgian said, "Hey, could you be the pastor of our school?" And he wrestled with that a little bit, and then said, "Yeah, I think this is what God's calling me to do." So, how many years ago was that? Four, five?
Four years ago.
And then you moved to Harrisburg subsequently, where they now live, and just got a townhouse that faces the mountains, which is the same mountain range that goes up into Maine that he used to face. So it's kind of cool, just a few thousand miles away. Yeah, that's great. Well, let's welcome our brother Rich, okay? Amen.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you. Wow, awesome. I want to have the team come up from our school. Just have them share a minute. Yay, Lucy and Lee and Cindy and Eric. Let's give them a hand. Amen. They're awesome. Yeah, we have a school in Harrisburg. We're starting our fourth year. And again, we just encourage you to pray about it. If you've ever wanted to go to ministry school, it's Mondays and Tuesday nights. So we do have people from Baltimore area, D.C. area coming up, staying overnight or commuting. And so we just love that. But I'd ask them to just share a minute. If the Lord gave them something for the church here, or just say hi, just say your name and greetings from the Lord.
Hi. My name is Lucy. I am a I've just finished third year at GCSSM. I love Susie Baker. She is our head intercessor, and she has taught me so much. And intercessing with you guys, praying before the service was, like, awesome. And this is the word I have for your community that I thought it was for a specific person, but I think it's for the whole community, that God's thoughts towards you are as many as the grains of sand, and they're all good thoughts. So I'm just picking up a handful of sand off the Glory Beach, and I'm throwing it out over all of you. All God's good thoughts all over you. He loves you so much.
Hi, my name is Lee. I'm a third-year student. And the word I got for you, for the church here is his goodness and his inheritance, is that you guys have been raising up as sons and daughters, that you walk into his inheritance of intimacy and everything that he has given you as gifts. You don't have to work for it. All you got to do is hold out your hands and receive. So the lady that was up here about your breakthrough is your inheritance, and it's now.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. My name is Eileen, and I actually just finished my first year at the Global Celebration School of Supernatural Ministry. And I'm from Baltimore. I live in Owings Mills. So I just drive down after work and come back every day, and it's really, God has given me the grace, and it's so easy now just to hop on the road and go. So if you do feel, you know, that you have that desire to go, don't let distance stop you. This past year has just been incredible of just learning and growing in the Lord. And this summer, I had an opportunity to go on a mission trip to Mozambique, which completely changed my life. And we'll be sharing with your youth out there in a few minutes just about the impact of what God did through me. And while I was sitting here and we were worshiping, I could hear God say that your praise is irresistible. Just your praises as you're praising him. And I could see a picture of like a magnet and like an iron. And you know how the iron cannot resist the magnet. It attaches itself to it. And that's what I saw, that your praise is just attaching God. Like whatever your needs are, whatever your desires are, as you're praising him, as you're worshiping him, he's attracted to that praise. And then he takes takes care of all your needs. And the scripture that God gave me was actually part of what Lucy quoted, which was in Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And also verse 12 says, "In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. Says, I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and bring you home again to your own land." So I just feel like that's the word that God has for this church as a whole, that he hears you as you're calling out to him. He is attracted to your praises. He inhabits your praises, and he's going to meet all your needs as you draw yourself. You draw close to him. Bless you guys.
Good morning. I'm Cindy. I'm a third-year graduate of Global Celebration Supernatural Ministry. And what I got for the church was a vision of how we sit around a campfire. So this church is sitting around. It's like the campfire. And you're all sitting around the campfire, and he is the fire. So everybody is like gathered around, and there's this peace, and there is the joy of him. But even when you get up to walk away and it's dark, that light is still there. So he wants you to know that no matter where you're at, darkness, whatever, he is always right there. And in a campfire, sometimes the sparks come out, and he just wants you to know that he is so alive in you. And so don't fear, just continue to walk with him, and you will get through.
I just loved having a microphone, didn't used to. Sorry, Rich. When I saw that there were blank canvases and no one was painting, and then I started and I saw that the paints hadn't yet to even be opened, and I thought, well, I'll do that. And I'm not a professional, but this is, when we are doing intercessory prayer, I did see the casting down the golden crowns in front of our God. And this is, and Josh helped me a little bit. He came up and said, it's not very good, but I think if you do that. But this is the golden crown with the shining and the glory coming off of it, and the sand, and this is the sea, which needs the little white dots of foam. But so does this resonate to him?
Yeah, he's an artist. I said, get him.
Here, why don't you take this home and finish it? There you go. After service, Rob Roy, this is yours. You'll fix it up so Josh likes it. But I would encourage all of you, come up and paint. You know, there is no, God will just guide you. And if someone, you know, just do it. It doesn't matter, you know, and you don't have to be a professional, but you never know what's going to happen. So you can always give it to this gentleman. He can fix it. Or to Josh. Or to Steve. Where's Steve? Anyway, thank you for allowing me to start playing with your paints.
Thank you, Lucy. Amen. That's amazing. Thank you for those words. The impression I had for the church was you guys had in town here very unexpected downpour rain downtown that was nobody predicted, really. It was just something that happened out of the blue, and it changed everything. I see something spiritually happening, paralleling, but a good thing, where something you're not expecting, something out of the blue, sudden, this fall happening as a breakthrough. We've been talking about breakthrough, but just be expecting that. Something, a cloud burst, changing everything, a flood. So we just declare that in Jesus' name for this church. Unexpected, out of the blue flood that will change everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's open to Colossians if you have your Bibles today. Well, I feel excited about this message today because The Lord's confirmed it 3 or 4 different ways. It's always neat when that happens. Like, yeah, it's not just my idea. It's actually from the Lord. And I'm going to read this at the end. Bill Johnson actually confirmed it, so I feel pretty good about that. That was nice of him. So anyways, we're going to talk about what you focus on is what you release. What you focus on is what you release. Colossians chapter 3. I've always loved this section of scripture, and it's just become more real to me the last couple of weeks. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. I think some of the other translations talk about set your affections on things above. I like that too. Where Christ sits on the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven. So it's talking about your heart, but it's also talking about your mind. Set both of those on things above, not on the things of earth. For you have died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And then when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of his glory. Wow, that's exciting, right? Share in all of his glory. We're sharing in part of his glory now, but then all. Father, we thank you for this word today. And Lord, just reveal the parts of it that each one needs to have. For this day and hour we live in, we thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Amen. There was an event a couple of weeks ago that I always try to do every year. It's called the Perseus Meteor Shower. Being a science geek, that's something I've always done with my kids. It's the best shower of the year. And so I was in Tennessee. I was in Nashville a couple weeks ago, and we went out on the porch there, and we saw a few meteors. But more than that, I love playing this game every year where I try to comprehend the universe. It's a futile study, but I love to try it, you know what I mean? And so I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at Vega overhead, 8 light years away, and I'm trying to get a, 8 light years, that's not that far away. So then I'm looking at Perseus, 500 light years away, which is in the next band of the Milky Way. And I'm thinking, 500 light years. It's just the next band over. Yeah, I think I got a handle on that. So then you see, you look at the whole Milky Way, 100,000 light years across. And I'm picturing rotating around the Milky Way, 100,000 light years. And my mind pretends that I can understand that. It sort of tries to grasp that. But here's the one that always freaks me out every year. As I'm looking over towards Perseus, there's Andromeda, and there's a fuzzy spot in Andromeda called the Andromeda Galaxy, which is 1 million light years away, totally out of our galaxy. And I start staring at that, and that's where my brain goes tilt, 1 million light years away. There's millions of stars in that galaxy, just like our galaxy. And there's billions of these other galaxies out there. And then my brain goes, boop. Ooh, and then it does something like, our God is an awesome God. He is so big. And he could be doing stuff in these other galaxies. We'd never know about it. Who knows? He could be doing all kinds of things out there. And then I'm overwhelmed like David, Psalm 8, when I consider the moon and stars that he has created. What is man that is mindful of us and all the details of our lives? And what is the Son of Man that he would come and visit us? And I just had this euphoric moment where this creator that created this incredible universe came to earth as a baby and lived as a carpenter, a humble carpenter in this little town called Nazareth, and went to a cruel cross. This God that created all this did this. And it just overwhelms me. I start to weep what kind of God is this that is so powerful, but yet so loving and so concerned about you and I that he, our thoughts, like Lucy said, he has millions of thoughts towards each one of us. And he's so involved with every detail, and he cares about all those things. It's overwhelming. And, it's an amazing thing that it says, set your sights on the realities of heaven and on his kingdom, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto us. And we set our sights on these things because we can take these realities of heaven into the darkest places here and now. We not only are to set our affections on the kingdom, but we're to take the kingdom right now, just like the kids took it to Chicago and to these places. We can take this kingdom wherever we go. Now, I got to tell you, I haven't always had a good handle on how to live in heaven and earth at the same time. I haven't. It's like, even in college, Matthew 6:33 was like one of my key verses. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. To tell you, you know, I went after that big time, but guess what? I didn't understand what righteousness was, and I didn't understand what the kingdom was. That's kind of a problem. If you don't really understand what the two are, I thought I knew what they were, righteousness, trying to be holy, and the kingdom, that thousand-year millennium. Well, guess what? Neither one of those are really correct. Righteousness is nothing we can do. It's a pure gift from God that comes through Christ from the cross. Pure grace, which I didn't understand. And then the kingdom, Bill Johnson helped me to understand this. It's not just this thousand-year theoretical thing out there. The kingdom is actually here and now. And Jesus came to bring the kingdom when he came. He said the kingdom of God is inside of you, and it should live out through you. So it's taken me many years to try to understand those two things. And in so doing, in trying to seek heavenly places and to seek the kingdom, especially during the 1980s, I was in a misunderstanding, and I was in a holiness club of my own making, and I tell everybody I missed the 80s. I basically missed the 80s because, you know, I didn't believe in TV. I didn't believe in touching the world and I didn't understand that you could be in the world and not of the world. I believe, you know, as a new Christian, that I want to seek heavenly things. My affections on heaven, so I lived in this euphoric realm where I didn't want to touch anything unclean. And so I missed the 80s, I missed Michael Jackson, I missed Star Wars, I missed all that stuff. I had to see it later. And because I was just too holy to, you know, to partake on anything like TV. So I don't know if anybody of you been in that club or in that t-shirt, had that t-shirt or not. But you know what woke me up besides the Bible was 1987, I went to Israel, and God gave me all kinds of revelation in 1987. And in particular, we went to the Dead Sea and to Qumran, the Qumran community, which is where the Dead Sea Scrolls are written and so on. And we went there, and they showed us all these baptismal tanks that they had and all that, and they were the holy of the holies. But yet, every night at supper, they would set a chair for the Messiah because they knew that Messiah would come there first because they were the holiest of people. And the thing that kills me is that 4 miles away, Jesus did come to Jericho where the sinners were. And he came and personally visited Zacchaeus and the blind Bartimaeus. And he came and directly came and visited them, and he never showed up at Qumran. It was like I had this shock treatment, like, whoa, God's saying something here. Like, in other words, I needed to change my perception of what holiness was. And Georgian helped me with that. 1998, I'd been on a 40-day fast to become holy, try to starve sin out of me. And Georgian showed up at the end of the 40-day fast and said, you know, holiness is not something that you can obtain by fasting and prayer and all these things. Holiness is actually a person that lives inside of you. It's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit makes you holy. That makes sense? Amen. Duh. It's kind of, it's like common sense, but I finally got it. Like, it's a total gift. Righteousness is a total gift. And so I began to understand more about what righteousness is and more about what the kingdom is. And I've been much happier ever since. Much happier. Like, give the Lord a hand. Isn't it great to be? You can be happy and holy. That's what John Wesley said. You can be happy and holy at the same time. And if you're not both, something is wrong. Okay. So, in fact, Colossians in pure English tells us that. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Don't let anybody condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating this or that, or new moons or Sabbath. These rules are only shadows of a reality. And down in verse 23, these rules may seem wise. They may seem holy. But they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, severe bodily discipline. But they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. Whoa. So our own efforts, our own striving never helps our own desires. Basically, it's setting our affections on things above and reckoning yourself dead to sin and alive to God. And so I've been trying to understand what's earthly, what's heavenly. And thank God, because Paul made it so clear. It's like, you can't say, oh, the Bible doesn't tell us what's heavenly and what's earthly. Oh, yeah, in detail. That's why it's so confusing today, why even Christians are having a hard time figuring out, well, what's right and what's wrong? Like, it's there. Like, it's so clear. This is what is earthly. We're not talking about TV or, you know, what your particular favorite Facebook thing is. But this is what Paul said has to do with the earth. Verse 5, so put to death. A better rendering is actually in the New American Standard. Reckon yourself dead to these earthly things. So these are the earthly things, the worldly things that we should avoid. Whoa. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy. Don't be an idolater. And then in verse 7, you used to do these things when life, you were still part of the world. But now it's time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. And don't lie to one another. This is the earthly things that we're to stay away from. We're to be part of this world, but we are not of the world. And this is what he's talking is the things that are worldly. Those things are wicked, the things that are sinful, the things that are not of heaven. Okay? And to me, and somebody said it. I think it was the girl with the laws she was talking about. Like, there seems to be a real confusion, even in the church today, like, what's right and wrong? You know, like, I was reading the Moravian readings just recently, because the Moravians are one of my favorite groups. They're like one of my favorite revival groups. And recently they've started ordaining gay pastors and stuff. And I was just trying to figure out, like, where did they get that? Because they honor the word of God. And he said, well, the group of elders at the top of the organization couldn't agree what personal morality is. So they just decided to all agree to, you know, go along with the culture. And I'm thinking, personal morality is not in the Bible? Like, hello? I think it's right here. Like, I think it's in almost every chapter of the New Testament. Like, what is of the earth, what is sinful, and what is not? If we didn't have this New Testament, then we could say, oh, yeah, you know, we don't know. But we do know. I mean, it's in clear black and white in several places of Paul's letters. The point is that as a Christian, sin is no longer part of our lifestyle. It's not who we are. Doesn't mean that a Christian can't sin, but we can't enjoy it anymore. Like, I was a really good sinner before. Now I can't enjoy it because Jesus is in me. And whenever I sin, it's like, oh, that's not who I am. That's not who he is. That's not who I am. And it doesn't feel right. Can anybody relate to that? Like, that's part of the proof that you're a Christian. Like, that DNA has changed. Yes. The Holy Spirit's in you now. And so if you do something that the Holy Spirit doesn't like, he'll let you know. How many of you know the Holy Spirit lets us know? He's so faithful. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And not only that, it tells us in verse 6, because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. Whoa, that's in there. God is good. He's good all the time. And he loves every single person. And that's exactly why He's so good, he hates wickedness. He hates that which is bad. Hello? And as we as Christians, it's the same thing. We hate wickedness, we hate sin, we hate disease because it destroys people's lives. And so it is with God. You know, he hates those things. And he will come and destroy sin. He will destroy disease. He's going to destroy injustice. Why? Because it's not part of his kingdom. It says his kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Woo. You want to have a barometer of whether you're walking in the kingdom? That's a barometer. Like, are you loving righteousness? Do you have peace in your life? Do you have joy? That's a barometer that I use. Because if I'm not feeling those things, I'm saying, I'm not, obviously my affections are not on the things of heaven like they should be right now. Because I'm stressed, I'm this, I'm that. And that's just a good barometer of where our kingdom affections are. Does that make sense? It's like a thermometer. And also, the kingdom of God is where Jesus is Lord. And so that's a good indicator too. Like, is Jesus Lord in this situation? Is he Lord in this place, in this region? So those are good indicators. Wow. And there is, again, you look at the Bible, and there's a lot of different opinions about the second coming of Christ. Because it's not an easy subject, there's a lot in there. How many of you know that? I've been studying it for 40 years. I don't have it figured out yet. But we do know the Bible says that he is coming back. Jesus is coming back. He's going to set up his kingdom, and there's going to be peace and righteousness and joy. And we're going to reign with him on the earth. We know that. So, you know, all the other things we can say, well, there's disagreements, but we know that that's going to happen. And so now we are actually learning to reign with Christ now and take the kingdom where we go. You know, there's been times I've been pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, and now I'm pan-trib. Like, it's all going to pan out in the end. And I think the danger is when we take an extreme view of either one. There are people out there saying, well, you know, it's just so dark. The United States is going down the tubes. There's really no hope. We might as well just wait and hang out until the trumpet sounds. Just hold on to the end, you know. That's just kind of a depressing way to look at life, you know. That's an extreme view. There's also other people who are saying, hey, the world's getting better and better. Sin's disappearing. And we as Christians are going to take over the world, and it's just going to be rosy from here on in. That's another extreme view, okay? The truth is in the middle there someplace. We know that his kingdom is coming and how it's going to get there. We just know that God's going to be, he's going to have his way. God's going to have his way. One scripture that really helped me with the whole second coming is Isaiah 60. It really showed me that. He said, arise and shine, for your light has come. He's talking to the church. You know, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So the glory is getting stronger on his church. The church is getting more beautiful. The bride is getting more beautiful. And that's really going to determine the timing of the second coming, is how beautiful the bride gets. But it also says gross darkness covers the earth. And so those two things are simultaneously happening. You know, it's a paradox. We can't understand the whole thing, but there's gross darkness, but on the church, the glory is arising. And that glory on us is going to affect the darkness around us. It has to. And the darker it gets, the more power we're going to have to influence. That's a positive thing, right? Like, whatever dark place we go into, it just shows that our light, our glory, is going to have more effect. Because there's going to be a greater difference. And people are going to not see anything lukewarm. They're going to see something black or white. You're going to see hot or cold. And we're going to be hot, right? We're going to be hot because we're in the fire. We're with Christ. Because this is really where the power is. You know, we talk about setting our affections on heaven. But really where the real power is where we meet earth. That incarnation of where heaven meets earth. Woo, the vortex. And Colossians 1:27 gives us the answer to that. It's in the same book. It says, and this is the mystery, which is to be revealed and that is Christ in you. Christ in you, which is the assurance of coming glory. So that's the proof, is that Christ is in you and it's affecting the glory of God in you is going to affect the world around us. And that glory that you experience, even in a small way, gives you confidence of growing glory that you're going to share in the kingdom. Wow. Yay. Just say yay. You know, there's a verse called in 1 John 4:17 that's been used a lot of ways. You know, as Christ is, so are you in this world. And some people have misinterpreted it and said, well, we're just like the glorified Christ right now. That's not really true because we don't have a glorified body. We don't, and we're not Jesus. How many of you know that? Okay, that's important to know. We're part of him, okay? We're one with him, but we're not him. So, but if you look at, again, if you look at the whole verse, it makes a lot of sense. It says, as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. How many of you know that? We set our affections on things above. Our love is going to keep growing and growing. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. Now, again, there's a lot of Christians today that don't believe there's going to be a day of judgment. Yes, there is. He's coming to judge the earth, and all of us are going to have to look right in Jesus' eyes. But guess what? But then John says this, but we can face him with confidence. Confidence and boldness. We can face this awesome God who has fire in his eyes. You know why we can do that? Because we live like Jesus here in this world. In other words, because we've been born of God, we have his DNA. This is a true test on the day of judgment. If we can have confidence, is that we have Jesus in us right now, and Jesus is flowing out of us right now. And there's parts of Jesus that we look like because we have his DNA. We have his DNA. We have part of heaven in us. And that is the proof at the day of judgment that heaven in us will take us to heaven. Does that make sense? It really does. I had a vision one time. We were praying in New Britain, Connecticut, for some meetings with Brian Simmons. And I was under the platform. We were interceding for those meetings. And I had an open vision. And it was at the Eastern Gate in Jerusalem. And I was just standing there by the gate. I don't know what I was doing there. But here comes Jesus on his white charger. Whoa, with the armies of God coming up to the Eastern Gate. It was overwhelming. And he's got the fiery eyes and the white hair and the glory of God on him. And I'm just like, whoa. Jesus, help me, you know. And so he rides up on the horse and he stops right in front of me. He looks me in the eyes with that fire. And I'm at this point, I'm like losing it. I'm just like trembling. And he smiles at me, Randy. He smiles at me. I'll never forget that because guess what? He's going to smile at you. Woo! If you're his, he's going to smile at you because you're his sons and daughters. Woo! He knows everything about us, all of our flaws, all of our problems, but he loves us unconditionally. Yes. And it's because of his blood that we can have this relationship with confidence. We can have confidence because we know him. We're his sons and daughters. It's just, it's overwhelming. Not only do we know him and we're friends of God, but, sorry. But, thank you. Woo. Not only do we know him, but we're friends of God, but we're loaded. Just talk to your neighbor for a minute and just say, we're loaded. We're loaded. We're loaded with the kingdom of God. We are. We're loaded with power. We're loaded with authority. Whether we know it or not some days, we are loaded. We have loaded hands. We lay hands upon the sick that we're going to recover. Well, we got loaded feet that take the gospel places. And when you go into dark places, this is when you know you're loaded, especially. You may lose sight of it day-to-day stuff, but when you go into places that are not in heavenly places, then you notice that the kingdom leaks out of you in a very pure way. Now, I was a substitute at Meslonsky High School in Oakland, Maine. I taught science for 2 years, and I also was a substitute teacher. And it was just really fascinating how stuff leaks out and affect it's shocking at times, you know. Like, I'm in literature class, just minding my own business, just up there sharing, and this guy, the student in my class, starts shaking and falls on the floor in the class. And, you know, he's got demon problems like that. So I just quietly whispered, come out in Jesus' name, and he was delivered. And he just like, and I'm sure, no, I didn't really explain it to the class. Like, how do you, but it was real, and it happened. And I said, wow, that's, I didn't expect that today. You know what I mean? But just know that if you have the kingdom in you and you're in a dark place, stuff's going to happen. And just be ready for it, to go with the flow. Another day we were doing history in history class. And again, God sets these things up. We just happened to be studying Israel and King David. So we were talking about the temple. We were talking about King David's tabernacle and the tent that he had in his backyard. I said, he had a tent in his backyard, and the ark was in there. And I said, and there was the blue flame. And this one kid said, so, Mr. Brink, what was the blue flame? And I just said, the presence of God. And when I said the presence of God came down in the class. And just for the next minute, I didn't know what to do, really. People were like feeling stuff. They were like trembling. Like, what is this? What is this? And I said, I think it's here. I think it's here. Of course, a public teacher, you got to kind of, you know, be careful with what you do. But I just let things happen for a while. Just let the presence of God take over that public school room. It was amazing. But I'm just saying, expect stuff to happen. When you go stuff, go places. God doesn't have to be careful. That's right. And then, of course, I have my daughter. She'd been in Christian school her whole life. Now she's going to public school. And I'm, like, very protective, you know. So the sophomore year, she had sex education. I was very concerned. Like, I need to go in there and tell that teacher what for. Like, you know, be careful with what you're doing. And the Holy Spirit said, shut up, basically. Don't go in there. Don't say a thing. Like, cool it. My daughter ends up leading her to Jesus. She becomes a deacon in our church. Like, hello? She was going through the divorce. God used my daughter. So I'm just saying, we're loaded. And expect stuff to happen. If you're setting your affections on heaven and you go into dark places, expect a reaction and a release to happen. And just be aware of that so that you can flow when that time comes. That's, how many of you know that's true? That's really true. I'm going to just finish this up. This is a quote from Bill Johnson, this latest charisma. And I thought it kind of summed up what I was trying to preach today. He said, what you focus on, the kingdom that you're aware of, is what you release into the atmosphere around you. I really like that. You're actually influencing your surroundings by what's going on inside of you. The world is filled with unbelief and sin and horrible things. The kingdom of God is filled with perfect trust and peace. You always reflect the nature of the world that you're most aware of. So each day, what are we aware of? We're full of the Holy Spirit. We have Jesus inside. But what are we aware of? Are we aware of the realities of heaven? Or are we aware of just the trouble around us? I think that's why our morning habits are really important. What we do in the morning when we get up. What do we become aware of? You know, I'm always tempted to go to Fox News first. But I always find out I'm get depressed after a while. And the Lord gives me, and the Lord said, there's actually a scripture about this. Yeah, in Song of Solomon, you know, the little foxes, they spoil the vine. So, yeah, it's right in the Bible. So I'm just saying it's better to just spend some time worshiping and get in the Word of God and to be aware of the things of heaven before you go to Fox News, okay? That's what I'm saying. Like, just let your reality be from Jesus and not from the world, right? Is that good? Is that good? Your morning awareness. Because Jesus warned this. He said, before I come back, this is a warning that I'm giving you. He's saying, because the fig tree is really important. How many of you know that? He said, when you see the fig tree bloom, you know that summer is near. So it is when you see these things, you know that my coming is near. And I have to believe that that has something to do with Israel becoming a nation again and with Jerusalem being taken back by the Jewish people, because the context of that Luke 21 story is when you see Jerusalem trampled down by the Gentiles and then you see it set free, that these things are happening. So I think the fig tree represents Jerusalem, and I believe that when we saw Jerusalem taken back, that the Lord was saying, hey, these things, I'm getting close. My coming is close when you see these things. This coming year is the 50th anniversary of the taking back of Jerusalem. It's a direct Jubilee year. So there's something very significant coming this coming year. And I believe, you know, we're going to see a lot of things happen, the fulfilling prophecy and so on. But Jesus warned, he said, when you see all these things take place, watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by pleasures, addictions, or the worries of life. So here's our heart. We guard it. Jesus said, guard it against earthly pleasures, addictions, and the worries of life. Because our heart gets dulled somehow by those things. But he said, set your heart on things above so that you can walk above those things and live a life from heaven to earth, seated in heavenly places from his perspective. Whoa, and that way you're always caught up in peace and joy and righteousness, and you don't get depressed and dulled by the stuff going on around us. Wow, that's a good word right there. That's Luke 21:30. In that whole section there. He said, keep alert, watch and pray that you can stand before the Son of Man. Wow. And Bill Johnson also said this, the atmosphere issue is a big deal. The two things I keep focusing on the most are the principles of the kingdom and the presence of the King. If we can keep those two things in focus, we find that he ends up doing more stuff. You end up having more stuff happen by accident than we ever had on purpose. Wow, let's all stand together. I'm going to just declare that over us today. And our team, again, would be glad to pray for some of you, for heaven to be infused in you today, whatever you're, if in your body or in your mind or in your situation. But Father, right now, I thank you that right now we're setting our affections on things above. We're setting our minds on things above. And as this world gets so much more busier and the troubles of this life can even be stronger, we just thank you that, Lord, every morning, help us. Let's make a declaration today that each morning we're going to set our hearts on things above. Whoa. And let heaven infuse our minds and our hearts that we can walk the day in peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoa, in righteousness. And we give you praise and thanks that our hearts will not be dulled by the things of this world that would take us down. We give you praise. Lord, I just pray for a new level of joy and peace in your people. Whoa. And that, God, we thank you for a sudden surprise this fall, a sudden surprise for your people. Whoa, to lift us into new realms of glory. Whoa, in Jesus' name. Give everybody, give the Lord a shout today. Thank you, Lord. Hey! Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Rich. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, brother. It's interesting what you shared. Obviously, a lot of what you shared stirred a lot of things. But I wanted to our brother Fred would be here this morning. Fred Lesson, they're on vacation, he and Kristen. But he shared this last Sunday. Modern technology, I was able to pull it out of the Dropbox, his PowerPoint. We are not time travelers from the past. We are pilgrims from the future. We have not come to reclaim something that was lost. We have come to proclaim someone who has found us. So let's stop our hand-wringing and our rage-venting. Let's reclaim our mission and reframe our perspective. In any case, what's important for the church is not so much whether the United States of America is post-Christian as whether Jesus of Nazareth is post-dead. And we all know the answer to that. Yay. Amen. That was a man named Michael Spencer wrote that. So, your stories in the public school, that was great. How many agree that was really good? Yeah. It's funny. I was in a Christian school and prayed for somebody. Their leg was lengthened, their back was healed, and almost got in trouble because the school didn't believe in healing. So it's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Thank you, Father. Well, I'm gonna pray for us to be dismissed. And if you want to leave, you're welcome to leave. But if not, please avail yourself of the prayer from our prayer team. And prayer team, thank you so much, because every one of you made a sacrifice to be here this morning, and we thank you for that. Thank you so much for coming. So if you'd like to stay, I know the young people are going to come back to receive prayer from their time in the back there. So, brother, we're just so grateful. Yeah. Father, just thank you again for this new day and this new week. And, Father, we thank you for the September surprise that's coming our way. And we just pray, Father, for your grace and peace. Lord, I ask that for every man and woman gathered here today. God, order our steps this week, direct our pathways, give us divine appointments, give us opportunity to share your love and life with those around us that you bring us into contact with. And God, we just thank you for all of this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen.